trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, welcome to everybody, and thank you for joining us tonight in our study, just to recapitulate what we have been doing, studying the Ten Commandments as the basics of our spiritual foundation, to have a good and solid foundation to understand these writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. We have been studying the theological virtues too that we receive in baptism, and we said that they are pure gifts given by God in baptism, the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, and we receive those in our baptism. Last class, we talked about the cardinal virtues, the virtue of temperance, of justice, of strength, and fortitude. Then today we will continue. We are going to talk about the virtue of humility, and we are going to go to the first volume of the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. As many of you know, that this volume was written after. So Luisa Picarreta, she goes back and she writes, she describes what happened during that time, at the beginning of the revelations. So she has to go back and to write, and some of these writings, they don't have dates. Volume one, we don't have dates for some of them. But just to understand that these writings that we find in the first volume about humility, our Lord Jesus, he started working in the soul of Luisa Picarreta, detaching her from the exterior and then working in her interior life, the life of the soul, we can say. And tonight we are going to talk specifically about the virtue of humility. Last week I asked you to practice during the week to see yourself as a little child, unable to do anything. A little child that has to rely on God to do everything. And to see yourselves that you were in swaddling clothes, you know, in diapers. To see yourselves that little child that cannot do anything by himself or herself. And actually, this is in volume one of the Book of Heaven. So I just want to read this passage. At the end, Barbara probably can send to all of you the reference of the document so you can see. And the reason we have to go to this is because, you know, even though we have read the volumes, some of us, we have read the volumes, and we know how to do acts in the divine will and all of this, but sometimes, even though we know all this material in our head, sometimes we don't put that into practice, and this is the way our Lord formed Luisa Picarreta. And this is very important, because in declaring our nothingness, then Jesus is able to do everything in us. So this passage that comes from volume one, from the Book of Heaven, says the following. Jesus told me that the first thing which was necessary in order to purify the interior of my heart was the annihilation of myself, that is humility. And he continued, see, so that I may pour my graces in your heart, you need to annihilate yourself, meaning to have humility. And this is what our Lord Jesus says. I really want you to understand that you can do nothing by yourself. This is right straight. We can see this is right straight from the gospel. Without me, you can do nothing, our Lord says to the disciples, right? So I'm very much weary of those souls who attribute what they do to themselves, wanting to make of my graces as many tips. On the other hand, with those who know themselves, I'm generous in pouring my graces in torrents. Okay, so let's stop here. We studied the Ten Commandments, right? And you know what the Seventh Commandment says? You shall not steal, right? I told you there was going to be a quiz tonight. You shall not steal. And you see our Lord here in the first volume says that I am very much weary of those souls who attribute what they do to themselves. In other words, you see how even the seventh commandment applies. We rob God of the recognition, the praise, the glory that he should be receiving. When we don't recognize the giver of the gift, right? He should be receiving praise, honor, and adoration for those gifts that he gives us, for those graces. But what he's saying is that when we don't recognize and when we attribute ourselves, you know, whatever we receive from God, and we don't give him adoration, and he doesn't receive anything from the creature, he doesn't receive the correspondence from the creature, then it's as if we were robbing him, right? And we know that the seventh commandment says, you shall not steal. On the other hand, with those who know themselves, this is very important. On the other hand, with those who know themselves, I am generous in pouring my graces in torrents. To know thyself, knowing very well that they can attribute nothing to themselves. They are grateful to me. So here we have gratitude. Gratitude towards God. In correspondence to God, to be grateful to God for the gifts, for the graces that he may put upon us. Knowledge of one's self, to know that without him we can do nothing. That's why I told you last week, try to practice this way. Try to see yourself in the Lord. Then he continues, talking about those who are grateful to him. They hold it in that esteem which benefits it. And they live with a continuous fear that if they do not correspond to me, I may take away from them that which I gave, knowing that it does not belong to them. It is all the opposite in the hearts, which reek of pride. I cannot even enter into their hearts because they are so swollen with themselves that there is no space in which to put myself. So here we find another element that is very important and another concept that we will have to have in mind. Because these things have to be eliminated from our soul, from our spiritual life. We know that virtues, they come from God. They configure us to God. We become more like God through the virtues. And here, we found a word that our Lord Jesus says, pride. Pride is the opposite of humility. And humility is a virtue. We know that pride is one of the seven capital sins. right? So either the soul will be filled with sin or with virtue and grace. So we have to be very careful here to understand the spiritual life, the interior life of the soul, if we really want to grow, to become, you know, more spiritual, to be holy, which is the universal call of the church for all of us to become holy, right? So you should not be afraid to become holy, because that's the universal call of the church for all of us to become holy. So everybody should be striving to become holy. But in achieving that goal, we have to kind of like navigate and try to escape from sin always. And the life of virtue has to be in us. So we encounter now the concept of pride, which is one of the capital sins. And you know, the pride is the opposite of humility. And our Lord Jesus says that in those souls who are filled with pride, there is no space for him to enter. So we have to look in our souls, you know. Also, we know who is the prideful one who said, I will not obey. Right? So we don't want to follow him. Then our Lord says, talking about those souls who are filled with pride, he says, these miserable ones take my grace into no account, and they go from fault to fault, up to the ruin. Therefore, on this day, I want you to make continuous acts of humility. So I want you to really look at this also, because this is from volume one, and this is something very basic that our Lord Jesus is teaching. Luisa Picarreta is putting the foundations for her to receive the graces that he bestowed upon her. And notice that humility is at the foundation. Humility is at the core of the spiritual life. It says, therefore, on this day, I want you to make continuous acts of humility. Okay? We know that every action that we do is an act. And our life is composed of many acts throughout our lives. Good acts, bad acts, no? But our Lord is giving us specifically the kind of acts that he wants us to begin with. I want you to make continuous acts of humility. So you may say, how? How do we do the acts of humility, right? But just keep in mind, this is what our Lord wants. Acts of humility. And humility is the opposite of pride. So we want to grow in the virtue of humility. Because this virtue of humility is acquired by repetition. That's why our Lord says continuous acts. Remember last week we read from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and the Catechism tells us that these virtues are acquired by human effort, by repetition. By human effort and by repetition. Right? They are not given like the gifts of faith, hope, and charity in baptism. It's the same as the cardinal virtues. This virtue of humility is acquired by us by continuous acts of humility, the Lord says. That means repetition and repetition until it becomes a second nature to us. So again, how do we make acts of humility, you may say? Well, last Sunday, I gave you the key. I gave you homework. Because this is what our Lord says. I want you to be like a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes. I said diapers, because it's easier for me to say diapers than the other word. So I want you to be like a baby, right? Who cannot move neither a foot nor take a step, nor a hand to work, but expects everything from his mothers. In the same way, you will stay close to me like a baby, always praying. See, this is another element that we find here, prayer. The element of prayer. Because humility feeds from prayer also, as the other virtues. The virtue of faith, hope, and charity grows with prayer. The virtue of humility leans on prayer also. Always praying to me to assist you, to help you. Always confessing your nothingness. In some, expecting everything from me. So this is the beginning, right? And this short passage is full of meaning. We find a lot of elements here. Humility as a virtue that has to be acquired by us by repetition, acts of humility, recognizing our nothingness, that without God we cannot do anything, that he is the one who does in us. Then always praying to assist us, right? To assist us, confessing our nothingness, right? So this requires, of course, trust also. Trust that he will answer, he will help us. So these continuous acts of humility, they give us this virtue that is at the core of the spiritual life of the soul, right? Because again, the soul recognizes that those gifts that are given from God, they are graces. So the soul, in seeing that God has bestowed upon her all these gifts, corresponds to him in gratitude. So the more acts of humility we make, right, the more we eradicate that sin from our soul, which is pride. So we can say that humility is the antidote for pride. Is the vaccine against pride, right? So it's very important to have this as an understanding, because even if we do, you know, like if we have read all the volumes and all, we have all this knowledge in us, but we don't get the basics, then the Lord will not be able to deposit on us, to build on us, what he wants to do in every one of our souls. Because as he says, then there is no room for me. We can know all the passages, you know, from the 36 volumes and all of that. But if that virtue of humility is not there, the Lord says, again, there is no space for myself there. No space which to put myself, the Lord says. So humility gives God the assurance that those gifts that he puts in our soul are protected, are safeguarded, that we are not going to appropriate them for ourselves, but that they are going to always glorify God for the praise and glory of his name. In reality, every act that we do should be for the praise and glory of his name, right? So let's say you are cooking at home, right? And you are a wonderful chef, or maybe not so wonderful, but you manage, right? Then you say to our Lord, right? I want to do this act for the praise and glory of God the Father, right? And you unite yourself to our Lord and you ask and you call the Lord to come and do it in you. Because this is what he says. Therefore, on this day, I want you to make continuous acts. To be like a baby who cannot move a foot to take a step and to work. So every step we take, we should have that intention, that asking Jesus to come and do it in us. All the work that we do, right? To receive divine assistance in everything we do, basically. To give that consent to our Lord to work in us. So just write that down, okay? To work on humility, to make acts of humility, to call, you know, to call the Lord. This is what he is saying. Call me. In everything you do, call me and ask me to be with you. Ask me to be with you, to stay close to you, and you stay close to me and pray. It says, always praying me to assist you. So Jesus, come and assist me in this task that I'm doing, you know? In here, I want you to look at when you go to Mass. I want to mention something about Mass here. And to unite yourself with the Lord. So the Mass will become more meaningful to you. So the Mass will not be something just like a routine for you to go every single day to Mass, you know? But to really offer yourself in an act of humility together with Jesus to the Lord. So when you go to Mass and you prepare yourself, you know, when the priest is elevating the host, the consecrated host, which is the real presence, Jesus in his body and blood, soul and divinity, right? He's truly present there. We call it the real presence, because he is truly present in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. So every single Mass is a sacrifice. The sacrifice of Calvary happens at every single Mass. It's repeated. It's enacted. So what Jesus is doing, our Lord Jesus is offering himself to the Father. Because remember, he's there present. So he's offering himself to the Father. And using the gift of the priesthood, the priest acting in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. In persona Christi, in the person of Christ. So Jesus is offering himself as a priest, and as the sacrifice to the Father. So he's offering himself for all of us. But at that moment, Each one of us has to unite himself to the Father. I mean, to offer himself to the Father, to offer himself to the Father through Jesus. How? So you say in your heart, in your mind, at that moment when the priest elevates the host, you say, Jesus, I want to unite myself with you. I want to unite myself with you. Right? Or you can say, Heavenly Father, I offer myself to you in union with Jesus, your son, or with your son Jesus, to understand that it is the humanity of Jesus that is able to bring us to the Father. So Heavenly Father, I offer myself to you in union with Jesus. But Jesus, I offer myself with you to the Father, in union with you to the Father, whatever way you want to say it. But at that moment, you offer yourself, you unite yourself with Jesus, who is offering himself to the Father, and you offer your will, so that you become a living host. So you also become an oblation. So everything that is in your heart, in your soul, all those intentions are offered to the Father. So you become a sacrifice too, but in union with the Father, with Jesus to the Father. So in seeing this way of attending Mass now, you will understand, you will, it will be more meaningful to you. And you will receive those graces to grow spiritually, right? That's why it's so important to prepare ourselves when we go to Mass, to have that spiritual preparation, to see it as a, to see it as a sacrifice. It's not a social gathering or anything like that, you know? This is totally different. Totally different, because Jesus is offering himself to the Father for all of us. But through our free will, we can unite ourselves with Jesus to offer ourselves together with Jesus to the Father. So we become also a sacrifice. This is a very clear way of how we are able to unite ourselves in the divine will, right? So yes, for you to practice this way of seeing yourself that you cannot do anything. Because without Jesus, we cannot ascend to the Father. It was because Jesus became human, and it's through his humanity that we are able to reach his divinity. So another act of humility, when you go to Mass, to do an act of humility, you know, that knowing that just by ourselves, we cannot reach to the Father. But Jesus is able to do that. So in union with him, we offer ourselves to the Father. So then let's continue with this passage. Luisa Picarreta continues and she says, I remember that one morning while he spoke to me about the same virtue, the virtue of humility, he told me that because of the lack of humility, I have committed many sins. And if I had been more humble, I would have kept closer to him and I would not have done so much evil. He made me understand how ugly sin is. The affront that this miserable little worm had made to Jesus, the tremendous ingratitude, the enormous wickedness, the harm caused to my soul. I was so dismayed that I did not know how to do, what to do in order to repair. Then this is what Luisa Picarreta says, I gave all of myself to the meditation of the hours of the Passion. And this, I did so much, and this did so much good to my soul that I believe that all the good came from that source. I saw the Passion of Jesus Christ as an immense sea of light, which wounded me all over with his innumerable rays, rays of patience, of humility, of obedience, and of many other virtues. I saw myself surrounded by this light, and I remained annihilated, as seeing myself so different from him. So when the Lord says, I want you to annihilate yourself, to die to yourself, to do acts of humility. And to do acts of humility is to recognize our nothingness, to know ourselves. This is what the Lord wants. To know that we are creatures, that we depend totally on him, totally on God. And that he is God and we are not. That he is the king and we are the subjects. That he is the father and we are the children. That he loves us so much. And all of this, we can say that they are attributes too, attributes that come from God. You know, God is all humility. So again, every time we grow in the virtue of humility, we become more like God. Let's continue here. Luisa Picarreta says, I was frightened and terrified in such intimidation, talking about the tremendous light that came from those hours of the Passion. And by the way, the hours of the Passion, they are a great source also to do acts of humility. Right? Because it's Jesus humiliating himself, becoming, you know, nothing. He's suffering in his humanity, God suffering, right? In the person of Jesus, humbling himself to rescue us. So I say to myself, Lord, my all and my life, how can I survive without you? Who will give me the strength? How is it that after you have made me leave everything so much that I felt as if no one existed for me, you want to abandon me now? Without you, I can do nothing. And the Lord says to Luisa, the reason I have done this is because I want you to understand well who you are. Again, to know that oneself. This is what our Lord says. Knowing very well, right, who we are. Knowing very well that without him, we can do nothing. So this abandonment, the Lord says, I did this because I want you to understand very well who you are. And I see, and I want to do this for your goodness, for your good. So do not be sad. Do not be terrified. I want to prepare your heart to receive the graces which I have assigned for you up till now. Right? I want to prepare your heart to receive the graces. So we can see the same for us. It's a preparation for us to receive the graces that flow from knowing this gift and from doing acts in the divine will, from practicing acts of humility, so that we have a good foundation. This is the beginning of having a preparation for this gift, for the spiritual life, to have a good spirituality, to develop our spirituality, To have a good foundation, the humility, the gift of humility, the virtue of humility is essential. Why? Because again, it gives God, it assures God that we are not going to appropriate those gifts, that he will always receive praise, glory, honor, adoration, thanksgiving, correspondence for that gift that he has given us, that we are not going to be thieves, that we are not going to rob God, right? In reality, also, the seventh commandment applies for us too. If knowing this and we don't do acts of humility in a way, you know, we are robbing ourselves from the graces that God wants to give us. This is what happened. This is what happened with so many people that they don't go to confession. They are robbing themselves. They are robbing their souls from all the graces that God wants to put upon them, right? So the seventh commandment not only applies to our neighbor, to those who to whom we relate, it applies to us. We can rob our souls, deprive our souls from the graces that God has for all of us if we don't apply ourselves, right? If we don't work, as the Catechism says, if we don't to acquire these virtues, because they are acquired by human effort. Then this is what our Lord says, I will make you touch your nothingness with your own hands. I will fuse you thoroughly in profound humility in order to be able to build high walls upon you. So instead of afflicting yourself, you should rejoice and thank me, because the faster I make you cross the stormy sea, the sooner you will reach the port of safety. The harder the trials to which I will submit you. Okay, so this is another thing that we have to be aware and we have to relate, because the Lord says to Luisa Picarreta, the trials to which I will submit you. Don't think that because you are trying to live in the divine will, you will not face trials, right? That's why also our Lord tells us about to be like a baby, always praying. So prayer is very important, right? Prayer is very important because it will help us in those difficult moments. The greater the graces I will give you, the greater, the harder the trials to which I submit you, the greater the graces I will give you, says the Lord. So courage, then courage, and I will come back soon. And in saying this, he seemed to bless me, and then he left. So this lesson that he gives Luisa Picarreta in volume 1 about the gift of humility is packed with meaning, right? It's telling us how to do acts of humility, how to acquire this virtue through constant acts of humility. It's telling us to pray, to have the disposition of always praying, and in everything we do, right? He says, you work at every single step. So every single step that we take can become an act of prayer, an act of humility, if we have that intention, that to draw strength from Jesus, that Jesus may come and help us do that single act. And prayer will fortify us, because prayer fortifies the soul. Now, when we have that habit of praying, the soul is fortified. Right, it's fortified because prayer unites the soul with God. Prayer unites the soul with God. So it's very important to have that in mind. And also the sin of pride. We don't want to have that in our souls. We have to get rid of that through acts of humility. So this is something that we have to keep in mind and to build upon everything that we have been studying. You know, the Ten Commandments, the theological virtues, the cardinal virtues, and now how to acquire the gift of humility. And also the good thing about this is that when we have this intention of uniting ourselves with Jesus to draw strength with every single act that we do, a continuous act of humility that we have to do, then all the other virtues, they receive fortification. They are fortified also with these acts of humility. So they receive strength. So that's the way the soul is being formed then. And again, very important how to unite ourselves in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. This is something that you really have to practice, right? And to have that intention, and you will see the graces that flow to that. And the Mass will become more meaningful to you, because this is really the way that we have to go to assist to Mass, to have that intention to unite ourselves with Jesus as he offers himself to the Father, right? It's a sacrifice, and it's totally different than any other gatherings. Also to see that the hours of the Passion, as our Lord Jesus explains to Luisa Picaretta in this passage, right? The hours of the Passion, they are a great resource that we have also to do acts of humility and to receive that fortification that we need to grow in this virtue. And the other virtues, how they grow, the virtue of obedience, of patience that we all need. So little by little, the soul will be fortified, but humility is at the core of the spiritual life. It's at the foundation of the spiritual life. So we have to practice that. Let's continue. I want to jump a little bit to the second book. This passage has a date. It's April 3rd, 1899, from the second volume of the Book of Heaven. So it's April 3rd, 1899. And the little title there is Humility Without Confidence is False Virtue. So this is what I'm just going to read a little bit. It says, finally, Jesus showed himself a little more clear, and in seeing me, so annihilated. Right? He told me, if you knew how much I like humility. So when he's talking about being annihilated, so to be humble, to do acts of humility, to recognize the nothingness. If you knew how much I like humility, humility is the least plant, the smallest plant that can be found. But its branches are so high as to reach heaven. Wind their way around my throne and penetrate deep into my heart. You remember the litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Jesus, meek and humble of heart, may my heart unto thee. Right? Meek and humble, humility. So this is it's so related with the teachings of the Church. You can see with this devotion of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Lord says that humility is able to penetrate deep into his heart, right? Deep into his heart. This little plant is humility. And the branches which this plant produces are confidence. So here we will start seeing how virtues, they produce other virtues. So here, the Lord tells us that the virtue of humility produces confidence. The branches which this plant, referring to humility, produces are confidence. So there cannot be true humility without confidence. Humility without confidence is false virtue. We can say that confidence is trust, trust in Jesus, trust in our Lord, right? Believe in it. Humility without confidence is false virtue. From the words of Jesus, it shows that my heart was not only annihilated, but also a little discouraged. So we will start seeing how virtues, they produce other virtues, the same way that we said that the fruits of the will are acts. So the Lord is asking us to produce acts of humility. You see, this is the first book, the first and the second book, the very foundation of how our Lord is forming the soul of Luisa Picarreta. So it is very good that you read the volumes, and I encourage all of you to read the volumes, right? But also it is very good to look in detail at these elements, the foundation, so that we can grow. So we can start growing in virtue. And this gift, right? This, the gift of living in the divine will, which is the source of everything, will strengthen everything that is, all the good that is in us. So it's a preparation also, right? And these virtues, they are being fed with every single act that we do in the divine world. These are being fed, right? Because they come from that source, from the divine will, that is the source of everything that exists. So I want to leave it on that tonight for all of you, and I want to maybe open it a little bit for 5 to 10 minutes for questions related to our study tonight and related to what we have been studying till this point. If you have any questions, maybe I can give you some answers. If not, I will try to look them up and find